Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. The greater Boston area is going through something of a bicycle boom, thanks in part to a popular bike share program, 56 miles of new trails, and a growing appreciation of healthy living. Bike ridership has doubled since 2007. Suddenly, it seems that bikes are everywhere.
That is the good news. The bad news is the numbers of accidents and injuries is also going up, including a pair of fatal ones just last month. Boston Emergency Medical Services count more than 450 bike-related accidents and collisions this year, up significantly since a year ago.
And that's prompted advocates to call on the city to do more to make the city safer for bikes. The perils are well known for anyone who ventures through the city on two wheels. Here's a sampling of voices from the busy Boston University neighborhood along Commonwealth Avenue, just outside our studios.
You have to be careful because I almost died on my way to class.
I feel like I'd get myself killed. The drivers here are too crazy.
Every day I'm like, oh, I was this close from being hit.
It's not uncommon for bikers or skateboarders to get quote-unquote doored and have someone open up their door and you just go flying into it.
You see a cab, assume they're going to try and hit you. Look out for pedestrians because they cross often.
I definitely recommend buying lights and buying a helmet.
Walkers, cyclists, and people that are driving vehicles all have to work together to make it safe.
That sampling of cyclists' voices was produced by BU Today. Now, Mayor Tom Menino is determined to make Boston a bike-friendly city, but with more bikes coming, the need for better safety. So what does that mean? More education for bike riders and motorists? More and better bike lanes? Better enforcement or traffic laws? All of the above or something more?
So let us know what you think, especially if you ride a bicycle in and around Boston, or maybe you've lived and ridden elsewhere in the U.S. or even abroad. What can Boston learn and what needs to change? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And joining us here in the studio is Christopher Carter. He's interim director of Boston Bikes, which the city set up 5 years ago. The stated aim, to make Boston a world-class bicycling city for all residents and visitors. Welcome to Radio Boston, Chris. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Peter Firth. He's a professor of transportation engineering at Northeastern University. He also advises the city of Boston on transportation and has studied biking infrastructure and safety in the U.S. and in Europe. Welcome to you, Peter Firth. Great to have you.
Thanks, Anthony. Great to be here.
So, Chris Carter, let's start with you. First, let's put these numbers in perspective. I know they created some headlines, two deaths on the roads last month, and according to Boston EMT, more than 450 bike-related accidents and collisions this year. Do numbers like these, put them in perspective, what do they say about our need to improve safety, if anything at all?
Sure. I think we're always looking for ways to improve the roadways for cyclists. If you look at the numbers over the past 2 years, we've actually seen a decrease in the number of accidents by about 25%. During the same period, we've seen ridership go up by about 31%. So we're seeing more people on the road and fewer accidents overall. And this is a direct result of the mayor's program and agenda to add more bicycle infrastructure, to do more education, to provide more safety opportunities for residents in Boston. We've done 57 miles of on-street, just in the past 5 years, of on-street road markings, whether it's lanes or shared markings. We have 30 miles of pathways in Boston. We've done work in Boston Public Schools and with community groups, over 9,000 students. We offer classes for people who sign up for Hubway. There's a whole range of opportunities to make this city safer for cyclists.
So you were talking there about infrastructure, about education, about bike lanes, a whole series of things. And I want to sort of talk about that as this segment goes on. But first, Peter Firth, let me come to you and ask you about those numbers, those collisions, those accidents. Are we doing okay in terms of bike safety?
If we compare ourselves to ourselves a year, 2 years ago, yes, actually we're doing well because, as Chris said, the numbers aren't really increasing. They're either staying about the same or going down while the number of bicyclists is increasing a lot. Mm. And this is the same sort of thing that we've seen in city after city across the United States. Some people call it the safety in numbers phenomenon. Mm. As more people ride a bike, it actually becomes safer for everybody. But if we compare ourselves to Europe, our bicycling in America is still about 6 times more deadly than it is in countries like Holland or Denmark.
Now, you've looked at that. I understand you've actually lived in the Netherlands, right? So
That's right.
What do you see over there that we might think about doing here or could consider doing here?
Well, you just start with a very common sense idea that riding a bike safely means being separated from motor traffic. You know, the danger, it comes from motor traffic, and bicyclists want to be separate. Three things for you need for safety: separation, predictability, and visibility. And the bike lanes give one form of separation, and that's a form that actually is perfectly all right on some roads where traffic is not fast, traffic is not confusing. But on busier roads, bike lanes offer a degree of separation, but what people are looking for is something more.
And so something more being a separate road or real physical separation that separates that bike lane from the traffic.
Exactly. If you've been to Amsterdam or Copenhagen, if you've been even to Montreal, and lately if you've been to some parts of New York City and a few other places in the U.S., you've seen this. We call them cycle tracks, a separate physically separated place for riding a bike. It's not the sidewalk. It's not the road. It's something separate for bikes.
Peter Firth, is that something that is realistic to consider for the city of Boston to think about? I'm sorry, I meant to come to you, Chris. I'm sorry, I'm confusing. I just met you two for the first time. Forgive me. Chris Carter, is that something that Boston can consider?
Absolutely, and we have been, actually. We've been, we're on the tail end of a 18-month-long community process to do a bike network vision plan that Peter has had input on. We're looking at exactly what he's talking about, these sort of bike lanes 2.0 that are separating people from traffic, and figuring out where we can put those in the city to make sure that we're providing as safe a facility as possible.
So let me ask you about it, and we were mentioning this before we were on the air, just to sort of explain a little bit about the one adventure that I take on from time to time when I bike into work. And on the one hand, I appreciate what I've seen happen in Boston. On the other hand, sometimes I worry about my safety and think about the safety of the tens of thousands of fellow riders out there. I typically come across the BU Bridge and then up Commonwealth Avenue. And it just seems like there is a confusion of peril along that route. First, we have a bike lane on the BU Bridge, which is very narrow and no place to go if you're actually clipped from behind or pushed off the road. And then coming up Commonwealth Avenue, there'll be a bike lane that sort of merges into the middle of the traffic with cars moving on both sides of you. Talk about that kind of concern and whether that is a concern, whether I should be concerned, and if so, what can we do about that?
Yeah, you know, in Boston, we've got nearly a century of an automobile deciding what designs we do on the street.
That's a big challenge.
In the past 5 years, we've been focusing on cycling infrastructure. So we've had 5 years versus 100 years. The improvements that were made on Comm Ave and the BU Bridge are big for cyclists that do that commute every day. It's a world better than it used to be.
I agree that it is better than it used to be.
But it's an iterative process. You know, we'll get to a point where it becomes safer and safer. And we're making those improvements. If you want to talk about maybe some things we could do in the realm of safety, we could look at vehicle speed. The mayor has been a big proponent of lowering the speed limit in Boston. There's been a bill at the State House that hasn't gone forward, but to lower the vehicle speed to make it safer for cyclists.
What about things like education? And now, Peter, I want to come back to you, and I am looking at you, Peter, this time. What about education? I'm reading that in cities like Portland, Oregon, and I'm assuming this is statewide, that drivers are required actually to take a certain amount of training to deal with bikes on the roads. In Massachusetts, I think pamphlets are available from the city or from the state. What more could happen, should happen with education? And does that get us where we need to go?
Massachusetts driver education is notoriously lax. But, you know, the infrastructure is the best form of education. If you want drivers to know that bikes have a right to be there, that they belong, when you make a bike lane or a bike path, that tells everybody in an unequivocal way. When you make a clear path that this is where the bikes are supposed to go, everybody can see that. So there's the best thing to do is make safe bike facilities. The section of Comm Ave you're talking about, you're right. It's a whole lot better than it used to be because of the bike lanes that were added. But this is a section of road that's going to be coming up for reconstruction, I don't know, sometime in the next decade. And when it is, with different thinking than we had for the last 100 years, that'll be the time to say, hey, instead of just a great big wide road, mm-hmm. a place for the trolley and a place for pedestrians, let's also add a place for bikes. And then you'll be able to ride in a cycle track separate from the moving cars. You'll be able to relax, whistle, sing, really enjoy riding a bike the way it's supposed to be.
Listeners, let us know what you think, especially if you're a bicyclist in and around Boston. You can join the conversation, 800-423-8255. Let's go to Amy, who's calling from Jamaica Plain. Hi, Amy. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. What's on your mind?
So I'm a cyclist. I've been a triathlete and then a bike commuter for over a decade. And I've been living in Boston for the last 7 years or so, and I want to first say that things have gotten a ton better in Boston. I've definitely noticed a difference in safety and more bike lanes. But just from my own personal experience, I think the biggest issue is sort of two pieces for me, and it's all around a culture shift of how we think about cyclists.
Hmm.
I think cyclists, it's really, really important for cyclists to bike with awareness, to make sure they're wearing their helmets at all times and to make sure they're not wearing iPods or anything in their ears. Because we have to be able to react really quickly when there's something dangerous in our way. Likewise, I really feel like it's important for drivers in cars to realize how vulnerable cyclists are. They can make one small mistake, a car can make one small mistake, and that could cost someone's life.
Right. So you're really talking about a shift in awareness. Amy, thanks for so much for putting that on the table. And Chris, let me ask you about that. I mean, it seemed like a big piece of that sort of making drivers, let's take that piece that Amy brought up, aware, is laws that are already on the books. In 2008, we passed the Bicycle Safety Act, right?
Correct.
Tell us what that does, because, I'm wondering if there's enough awareness even about that law out there.
Sure. There's a lot of pieces of the law that maybe go sort of overlooked. Cyclists are allowed to ride two abreast in most vacations. They're allowed to take full use of a lane. But most of the conflicts that we see between vehicles and cyclists are turning movements or are car doors when we're talking about accidents.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the steps that the city has taken is, raising the fine for cars that are double parked in a bicycle lane, because we know that forces cyclists to go into a travel lane and change their direction.
Yeah, and is there more to the law that you're about to describe, or are those the key points?
Things for the cyclists, like Amy mentioned, wearing lights, making sure that they're following all the rules of the road. So it's really about respecting, the rules of the road by all users. So, we have a problem in Boston where whatever mode of transit you're on, whether you're walking, whether you're on a bike, or whether you're in a car, you feel like you have the right to do whatever you want.
Hmm.
And we need to get to a point where everybody's respecting everybody else.
And Peter, if I came back to you and said sort of what's the best way to kind of really begin that shift in sort of overall attitudes that Amy was talking about, does it come again down to infrastructure so that people can sort of see it and get it and understand what's going on here?
There are two things that drive it. One is simply seeing more bicyclists.
Yeah.
And that's incremental. It's happening all the time. It's great to see it. But the other one is when the owner of the roads, which is the city or in some cases state, the DCR, when they put up a sign, when they put down some paint, when they say, hey, folks, bikes are legitimate here. Bikes belong. That does more than anything to help motorists respect bicycles. So that's part of the reason I have a saying that it says a bike lane anywhere is good for bikes everywhere, because of the message it gives to motorists that bikes need to be respected on the road.
You know, I was thinking today, we've seen the city go through, speaking of infrastructure, some dramatic changes in recent years. And I'm thinking of the Big Dig, which opened up access to the waterfront, established the Rose Kennedy Greenway. It represented huge opportunities for making the city more accessible to bikes and being more bike friendly. How fully have we exploited? How fully did we exploit those opportunities, Peter?
Well, as Chris said, the city of Boston made a policy change to really become bike friendly only about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So we have a long legacy of projects that were not very bike friendly. The Rose Kennedy Greenway, when it was designed, there were people who said, well, there should be a bike path through this greenway. Well, there wasn't. In the end, bikes were just expected to share the road with cars, trucks, and buses. The same thing was done to Huntington Avenue when it was rebuilt and parking lanes were removed. So why weren't bike lanes put in? It just wasn't a priority. And the same thing almost happened to Commonwealth Avenue, right in front of between BU Bridge and Kenmore Square when it was redesigned. And at the last minute, by some pressure from some good people at Livable Streets and the city and the state working together, that section at least got bike lanes. But we have a long legacy of auto-oriented development to undo.
Let's take another call. Daniel is calling from Watertown. Hi, Daniel. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Tell us what's on your mind.
I would just like to speak to the traffic enforcement side of the issue. I myself am a cyclist and a motorist, and I see, as a motorist, many cyclists that do not obey traffic laws that they are supposed to be obeying while they're sharing the road as a motorist, blowing through stop signs or red lights, turning into traffic, weaving in and out of lanes to avoid stopped motorists that are turning or parking. And I think that if traffic enforcement was a larger part of this issue, motorists would respect, or cyclists would have to respect the traffic laws more and reduce accidents in and of itself.
And then the drivers might respect cyclists more, perhaps. Peter Firth, what do you... let me come back to you, Chris Carter. What do you think about Daniel's comment, and what does the city have to say about that in terms of, you know, making bicyclists aware of the traffic laws and that they need to obey them?
Right. We work with the Boston Police Department on a regular basis to do targeted enforcement, to help educate cyclists about what the rules of the road are and make sure they're following them. You know, as Peter talked about, we spent years where cyclists were mixing in with traffic and didn't feel like they had infrastructure that supported them, and people were doing what they needed to do to survive out there, frankly. So we're transitioning. You know, we've been doing this for about 5 years, but it's a shift. It's a cultural shift. It's a shift in people's mindset about how they ride, and making them feel, you know, comfortable on the streets so that they're following all the rules of the road. You see it in other cities as more infrastructure is in place. Cyclists begin to comply with that. They feel welcomed on the road. They feel safe, and they don't feel like they have to, you know, make decisions that might put them in unsafe situations.
Peter, where are we? You know, we talk about bike ridership doubling in Boston since 2007. Where are we relative to other cities, for example, where biking, I'm thinking of a city like Portland, Maine, where Portland, Oregon, where you just see tons of people on bikes.
Well, Portland, if you see tons there, but you didn't see tons in Portland 15 years ago. It's taken off like crazy in Portland, in Montreal, and Boston, it started taking off about 5 years ago. And the potential for us to grow and have as many bikes as Portland, I think in Boston we're in the 1 to 2% of trips being made by bike, and Portland has already gotten to 6 or 8%. But it would be we have a temperate climate, relatively flat land, tons of students, and we have a city in which it is faster to get from here to there by bike for a lot of heres and theres.
Yeah, there's no question about
that.
So
I think we're going to easily see our bicycling increase by a factor of 4 in the next in the coming decade.
Chris Carter, does that sound right about right to you in the city?
Peter is spot on. You know, our goal by 2020 is to be at 10%. We're well on our way, and we've seen the growth trend and go that way over the past couple of years.
So 10% of all trips in and around Boston being made on a bike.
Correct.
Wow. Well, that'll be something. And I think it'll be better for all those people on the bikes and not to mention the environment. And think of all the health benefits it has as well.
And it's fun, too.
And it is fun. Christopher Carter, Interim Director of Boston Bikes, thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And Peter Firth, Professor of Transportation Engineering at Northeastern University, thank you.
Glad to be here.
Stay with us. Coming up, our weekend picks and Only a Games. Bill Littlefield shares his thoughts on the firing of, yes, Bobby Valentine. He is no longer a Red Sox. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.